good to see you again here today. Glad to have you along for the conversation. Got a funny email there. I'll share in a little bit here. I don't know how these things happen. We'll get to it in a moment. So I was in a manufacturing facility yesterday, a metal fabricating shop. They do well, but they're having a lot of trouble competing because the parts that they make for big companies around the world, they can't compete with places like Taiwan and elsewhere when it comes to putting the product on the shelf or making a deal with a client. It's in fashion to make it in America right now, but it's also in fashion not to spend three times as much, and so it puts American workers and American factories at a disadvantage. We don't make anything anymore. That's part of our problem. We have other issues to face as well. Scott Severino is a senior fellow at the Foundation for Government Accountability. Scott, good to have you here.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm well. I was walking that factory floor yesterday working on another project and learning about the problems that we face with the workforce today. But you say states can unleash an economic recovery, solve the labor crisis, and they can do it with one tool. You got my attention. Tell me what it is.
Sure. So if people have noticed, just like you said, the worker shortage that's going on right now. We all see it in every shop window, every restaurant window. One of the causes of that is that the federal government has suspended work requirements in food stamps. Now, we all are kind of familiar at this point with that unemployment bonus that caused so much of it. But a huge amount of it was caused by that federal government pausing of the work requirement in food stamps. And you know, there are over 40 million people on food stamps in America right now. That's more people than the entire population of Canada. So that has had an outsized role in driving the current worker shortage. But the Fed, in all their wisdom, when they paused that work requirement, they forgot about a separate work requirement in food stamps. This can get really complicated really fast, so I'll just keep it really simple. There's one work requirement that's been effective, and that's the one that was paused. But there's another work requirement out there that actually applies to more people, but it only works if states assign able-bodied adults on food stamps to slots in their employment and training program. And states for the last 30 years haven't been doing that. But right now, with that other work requirement paused, they can start doing that and get more people off the sidelines and back to work.
Explain how that works. All right, so, yeah, explain how that works. I'll say, so the federal government, who is sending checks to people for children, even if they haven't filed a tax return, the checks are showing up apparently every month now if you have a kid or two or three, you know, a headcount, right. Rack them up. Plus, free food, didn't realize that. Plus probably other programs. So you're saying the states can fill this gap and move things forward. Now I'm seeing in the red states, the recovery is happening faster. In the blue states, not so much. But the red states have pulled back some of that support and said, hey, get back to work. And it's working in some places. But to me, it's still baffling because I look around and say, where did everyone go? And I had a guy tell me yesterday they went home because of the money that's available, food stamps that are available, rent assistance that's available, all these things are available. And the red tape isn't much, is it?
That's right. People are following incentives. You know, human beings are human beings. If you set up incentives to incentivize people to stay in dependency, to stay on welfare programs, they're going to do it. If it pays to stay unemployed and it pays to stay out of the workforce, people are people. They're going to do that. If you incentivize people, on the other hand, to work, to get up every morning and actually show up to work, people are going to do that instead. So the states that are prioritizing work are the ones where you're seeing that labor force participation problem start to get better.
All right, so that's one step. What else can we do? Because here's the thing. You know, at the beginning of the pandemic, we lost about 25% of our over-the-road drivers. That's one of the reasons we're having distribution issues right now, is because those owner-operators, a lot of them lost their rigs because there was nothing to deliver. They were put on hold for weeks. They couldn't make their payments. They lost their trucks. They lost their tractors. They lost the ability to make a living. And so they just got out of it. We need more truck drivers. But here's another problem. Talking to people, a lot of the truck drivers, those jobs could be filled, but people cannot pass drug tests because we've made marijuana legal in so many places. So the basic drug tests that are required, and I want for people driving a 100,000-pound rig down the road, people can't pass the drug test. That's one of the big problems, isn't it?
That's right. And the truth is, if you look at all of the programs that the government has set up, it's certainly not limited to unemployment and food stamps. Just to give you one more example, in Medicaid, right now, Michigan, every other state in America is handcuffed and can't remove anyone from the rolls by the federal government. You can't, even if somebody becomes ineligible, even if they commit fraud in the program, even if they in some cases, stay incarcerated for a small period of time due to drug offenses or anything like that. And so you have a program that's set up to be fraudulent by design. You have people that are on these programs for months and months and months, even though they're ineligible. And if you don't think that's part of the workforce problem, you're not living in the real world.
Well, and here's something else. Here in Michigan, where I live, and I don't know how it's worked in other places around the country, if you got unemployment during the pandemic, you are not actually entitled to. It's all forgiven. No big deal. You know, if you got paid, you know, it was a pandemic. We had stuff going on. You just keep that money. I'm sorry, who's running this thing? We're in debt every place you look. They're wasting money at every turn. And it's like, oh, you got money you weren't entitled to? Was it fraud? I don't know. We won't even look. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. Who cares? Just give them the money. I mean, is that just the most outrageous thing or what?
If you and I set out to create a welfare for all system, we couldn't do much better. So, I mean, to answer your question of what we can do, there are a couple things that states can do, but ultimately, at the end of the day, if you really want to solve these problems at the root, you need to send different people to D.C. is the bottom line. It's the federal administration that has handcuffed states from doing the most effective things in terms of lifting people out of welfare and back to work.
Yeah, so we've got to look. It always comes back to this, doesn't it, Scott? We've got to come back to the local level, figure out what's working. And again, the federal government, and I don't care, pick your policy, pick your program, pick your agency. This one size fits all doesn't mean it's the same in Arkansas as it is in Alaska, as it is in Massachusetts, as it is in Florida. It doesn't work that way. It never works very well that way because these are all very different places for a variety of cultural reasons, geographical regions, and everything else. And yet the government comes in and they block our efforts to get things right. Go ahead. I'll give you the last word.
Yeah, no, if California and New York want to create a welfare for all system and have a small few working at high wages, making $300,000 for Silicon Valley tech companies and everybody else is on the dole, that's one thing. If they want to do that, fine. But that's not the right approach for most states, and I think you're right. The states created the federal government, not the other way around. It's time to give them the power.
I agree with that. Scott, greatly appreciate you being here. Scott Centurino, Senior Fellow, Foundation for Government Accountability. We've got to get people back on the job, that's for sure. Really appreciate the conversation.
Thank you very much. Have a good one.
There you have it. The American farmers are working today. Regardless, rain or shine, they keep working. And you need to support them. PatriotFoods.com, the place to do that. Support the American farmer. Support the food chains that lead to your dinner table. The food chains that lead to your lunchbox. Make sure you're taking care of the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, be a label reader. And if you go to PatriotFoods.com and spend more than $100, it's shipped free anywhere in America. It's free to look. Support American farmers. Because without them, we go hungry. I'll be right back.
You might be wondering, what's Enbridge doing to keep up with the energy demands of tomorrow? As a bridge to the energy future, we're helping drive the change toward lower carbon and renewable energy sources. That's why we're modernizing our infrastructure to be more efficient and reliable, and why we're investing in energy sources like wind and solar. We are Enbridge, a leading North American energy infrastructure company, and we believe when our energy meets yours, the future is full of promise. Enbridge, life takes energy.
Pure Michigan water has never been more important than it is today. You can find your Pure Michigan Water experts at Wolverine Water. Wolverine Water has been installing Michigan-made products for almost 75 years now. Hometown products and hometown service provided by your friends and neighbors at Wolverine Water since 1947. How about that for a cool drink of water? Wolverine Water. I've been a customer for over 20 years, too. If you're ready for the very best, you're ready for Wolverine Water. WolverineWaterSystems.com.
When today is unpredictable, you need sound advice and strong support to help you stay focused on your long-term financial goals for tomorrow. Ameriprise has been guiding clients through challenging times for over 125 years. You can take comfort in working with an advisor who's backed by that strong experience and who's there to guide you with personalized, goal-based financial advice. Together, you and your Ameriprise advisor can plan your future while navigating your now. Call me, Ameriprise Financial Advisor Craig Stiles, today at 517-483-4893. That's 517-483-4893. Office is located at 2400 Lake Lansing Road, Suite B, Lansing, Michigan, 48912. Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, member FINRA and SIPC.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information.